parables of Jesus, because they just don't take you to places where you think they're going to take you. You think they're going to be all nice and comfortable and encouraging, but parables like the one that Anna's just read are kind of very striking in their challenges. Could I have slide one, please, Elizabeth? Thank you very much. So today we're talking about prayer, and the last few times I've been here, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. So this encompasses the Lord's Prayer, plus generally, why do we pray? So maybe when you look back in your life, and as I said, some of us have been Christians many years, some of us have been Christians only a small amount of time, which is wonderful. But whereabouts have we prayed? Probably in some memorable situations, maybe in some places like cathedrals, out-of-the-way churches. Maybe when you've been frightened or when you've been bursting with joy, your words lift up to God in heaven. Next slide, please. So this has been one of the kind of joys of recent weeks for me is Frieda in the middle, that many of you will know from coming here many years, playing on the piano, being the life and soul of the chapel. She has now got dementia. She's in a lovely nursing home. And her daughter felt that she couldn't cope with the actual wedding of her granddaughter because of all the changes in her life that would involve it. She's very, very frail now. And so she agreed with her granddaughter, and they planned it, that her granddaughter would dress up in her bridal gown 2 days after she was actually married, and we would have an actual wedding in the nursing home. So her and her husband came, and we had a marriage ceremony, which Frieda was very much part of. And that was the joy of that time. The nursing home had moved all the dining tables away, and we had good, clear space. And there was maybe a dozen or so of us there. Pauline wasn't there. So it was a really good time, and it was an experience of joy for Frieda. So we feel that God gives us unexpected and unimaginably beautiful occasions. And I think that just about every human being has prayed at some point in their life, and nearly all of those prayers have been addressed to a deity, which is assumed has some kind of power to help them. As the great saying goes, there are no atheists on the front line of battle. It takes a very strong person to ignore all the possible avenues of help when troubles fall upon them. So if just about everybody prays, everybody here prays, then why am I preaching on it today? If it's almost as innate as breathing, then why bother explaining about it? Tim Keller, I'd recommend any of Tim Keller's books to you. He wrote, "Everything important is very hard to accomplish. So why should prayer be any different?" And I think that's probably the experience of many of us. Prayer can be quite a difficult thing to do. Firstly, it's very important to know who it is that we pray to. Some pray to trees, the nature, she-god. Others pray to deities which are inconsistent, perhaps even hateful deities. Fee and I had a taxi driver in Mumbai that took us around for the day, and he told us about the time when he crawled from his home in Calcutta to the temple of Ganesh, 10 miles of crawling on his hands and knees in order that his prayers might be answered. So what is it about the Christian God which enables us to pray with confidence and pleasure? Well, firstly, we can talk to God wherever we are and whatever we're involved in, knowing that he will listen. We don't have to perform heroic acts. We don't have to crawl on our hands and knees for 10 miles to gain his attention. And we have the assurance from the Holy Spirit that this is so. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? The best love verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Thanks, Elizabeth. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Amazing. Jesus didn't come to judge the world. God didn't decide to punish the world. He came to love it and to give it a way forward, a way of salvation. If we then believe that Jesus is God, then we are his children And as his children, we have free, immediate access to our Father. I know that some of us have difficulties with our fathers. Our fathers maybe weren't all that we should have expected them to be, but God is our perfect Heavenly Father, and he always has time for us. So why does God want us to pray to him? What is it about that? Firstly, it's not about him being lonely, as some atheist critics state. He is the three in one. Next slide, please. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here it has this image of them being in an eternal dance together, but always in very rich communion with each other. So it's not about God being lonely. It is him reaching out in pure love to us, welcoming us into the joy which he has known from all eternity. Prayer is communication, and through it we deepen our relationship with God. And we experience that deep joy that he has. So the nearest things that we have as humans, generally speaking, are the relationship between couples that are married. Marriage cannot be sustained without communication. And just like our relationship with God, there'll be times when much of that is a working relationship. Prayer does involve asking God to help others and ourselves. It does involve the nitty-gritty persevering, the times when it appears that nothing is moving forward. There are periods in our lives when it seems that nothing is changing. But with prayer too, there will be heartbreak, a feeling of lack of breakthrough. But doesn't that reflect our lives? And we know for sure, next slide please, there is stuff that will not happen unless you pray for it. Again, Timothy Keller, who died, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, writes, prayer is the way to experience a powerful confidence that God is handling our lives well, that our bad things will turn out for good, our good things cannot be taken from us, and the best things are yet to come. Conversation with God leads to an encounter with God. Prayer turns theology into experience. Next slide, please. So often somebody will come to me and they say, yeah, I'm really struggling because I don't know the Bible. I don't get to read the Bible, don't have time, so I lack the knowledge of the Bible. And this can be remedied by committing to daily readings of Scripture. This is one way that I'm doing it at the moment, is reading the Bible in 1 year. This gives you a Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, and a psalm. So by the end of a year, you've read the whole of the Bible, but you've not had to read it in great blocks along the way and wade your way through the Old Testament. So this is a nice way of doing it, and a bit easier than going straight through. Otherwise, there are things like the Bible notes that are at the back, and they're for free, so please feel free to take one of those. But if you are already praying, maybe your life is really busy and you literally don't have time to read the Bible. There are times in your life like that. But carry on praying. You already have an experience of God to encourage you to read and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. For me, I find it easier to read and study the Bible than to pray. For others, it's the other way around. But prayer is the heartbeat, the oxygen to our spiritual living. Prayer is faith become audible. So it's essential, yeah, in your longer term that you read your Bible. Otherwise, you won't know the one to whom you address your prayers. I believe in the God who allows us complete freedom of choice. He remains open to move in our lives through those free choices. I don't believe that he has planned out to the minutest detail everything we do, and we're nothing better than automatons. Illustration here in the Bible, Abraham, next slide please. Now this is difficult because it's quite a big passage, so this is just a little bit of it. Abraham and Yahweh, God, speaking with each other. So God has said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because they're all wicked, and Lot, Abraham's cousin, is living in Sodom. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but the Lord still stood before Abraham. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? And Abraham, over a very kind of short period, goes right down to 10 people. Will you then, God, sweep away the place and not spare it for the 10 righteous who are in it? And God says, no, Abraham, I wouldn't destroy the city if there were 10 righteous in it. And it's at that point that Abraham realized that apart from Lot, there was nobody else in that city that was a good person. There was all wickedness. But that's interceding with God. God's in a position where he's saying, I can move on this. I can change what I do. If there are only 50 righteous here, then I won't destroy it. And we see that time and time in the Bible, that God, in his mercy, doesn't do what he threatens to do. So God listens to us as he listened to Abraham. And we have opportunities to change history through our prayers. Why do we pray for Gaza? Why do we pray for the Ukraine? Things way out of our hands. Well, we pray to a God that is faithful and almighty. He is working his purposes out. So you may be thinking, well, this is just another occasion when the preacher has all the time in the world during his working week to pray and to read the Bible. Well, what about me? I have family. I'm busy. I have a full-time job. Maybe I have elderly parents. Maybe you're feeling elderly and you have no strength or energy in yourself. So this I'm going to take from Martin Luther, the great reformer. And he said, sometimes I'm so busy that I have to spend 2 to 3 hours a day in prayer. So I'm not suggesting that you do that. Martin Luther was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. But he asserted that we must pray whether we like it or not. It's not a choice. He encouraged people to first begin with a short passage, a psalm, or short teaching of Christ. He then encouraged a regular use of the Lord's Prayer. Just about whenever we meet here, we say the Lord's Prayer together. We know that through and through. So let's just run through it yet again. First of all, Our Father. Amazing, isn't it? Those words, so familiar to us. Our Father, that puts us right in the place of a child in front of a loving father. Immediate contact with God. We have a bond with him. And he loves us. He is our Father. We're not alone as Christians. We have brothers and sisters here and throughout the world. Wherever you go to a church, there are brothers and sisters there, maybe worshipping in a different language, but it's fantastic to know that. And we have prayed regularly for those who are being persecuted, and specifically we sometimes pray for Christians. Christian individuals facing struggles, because they are our brothers and sisters. Their struggles are our struggles. Sometimes we witness immediate answers to our prayers. Other times we are to pray regularly and persevere. Lisa knows that sometimes prayers are answered immediately, and when we pray them, there's an answer, and that happened this week. And the parable that Anna's just read to us this morning emphasizes the necessity of continuing in prayer. If there's an unjust judge and he accedes to this persistent widow because he's driving her bonkers, was that what Anna's read, I think? Something like that, which is lovely. Driving me crazy, I think it was read. Brilliant. How much more will our Heavenly Father give us what we ask? The only way that you can be sure that your prayers have failed is if you stop praying. Next slide, please. So that's absolutely true, isn't it? If we don't pray the prayers, God doesn't get to answer those prayers. Naturally, we may be inclined to pray only for our needs, although some and many I talk to struggle to pray for themselves. They say, oh, I can only pray for others because God doesn't want to hear about little old me. Well, he does. You're his child. He wants to know how you're getting on, what your struggles are. And the Lord's Prayer shows us a structure. So we are to seek for the growth of the kingdom, the effectiveness of the gospel. Just think, a few thousand believers in China, once upon a time, hardly any when Hudson Taylor went there a couple of hundred years ago, and now there's estimated to be over 100 million believers in China. Thy will be done presses us to accept some things that God has allowed that are troubling us. Jesus' words in the Garden of Gethsemane, please take this cup away from me, Father, but not my will, but yours be done. We ask for what we think we need, but acknowledge that God knows far better than we do. Sometimes the path is uphill, it's steep, it's rough. We need God with us. Our daily bread encourages us to pray for a job because we need to live. For our debit card to be accepted at the supermarket so we can eat. For the house we buy to have no hidden faults which could prove an ongoing issue. And forgive us our debts reminds us to ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings and that we will always be dependent on God's grace. Grace, the centre thing in the universe. As we have forgiven, we pray. So unless we forgive others, we can't ask God to forgive us. And lastly, to pray for spiritual protection. We pray, deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is a reminder we're not to exaggerate or underestimate the devil. Next slide, please, Elizabeth. We are told by the Apostle Peter, I chose this slide and then I realised the lion looks really cute in it. So it's meant to look ferocious. So there we go. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. So that's the kind of the danger that we have as Christians. The devil is seeking to consume us. But if we go on to the next slide, Elizabeth. In James says, resist the devil. And he will flee from you. We have the strength, we have the Holy Spirit within us so that we can resist the devil and he will run away. Don't use the devil as an excuse for your own shortcomings. So you may already have a regular prayer time, but if you struggle to know how to pray, how you should approach the Almighty Creator God, then what I've said will hopefully be of some use. Go closer to God. It's a lifetime pilgrimage, isn't it? We're not going to do it all in one day, one month, one year. We are here for a period of time when we are called to get closer to God and to follow in his footsteps. Amen.